On this episode of the Cooligans, we talk about so much, but in particular, we talk about Miami out of the playoffs. Worst case scenario, sell your Apple stocks, folks.
Okay, Tim Cook is furious. Then we also talk about a little EPL recap, a lot of crazy games. We'll talk about the drama with in Ajax and Maccabi Tel Aviv and NWSL playoffs. A lot of drama there.
It's lit.
And David Coote.
Oh, boy.
Referee got caught on
camera. Tell us what you really feel, David.
All this and more today on the Cooligans.
Feel about truffles, Christian?
Truffles.
Are you a truffle guy?
I'm not a truffle guy because they're a little intense, packed with a lot of flavor.
That's kind of the point. That's why they're so expensive.
Yeah, that I can't.
Those little nuggets are like $1,000. Right.
Yeah, I just a little bit of it, and it's like too rich.
It is. It's umami. It's like everything becomes rich. So the reason I bring it up is because I'm host of Sunday Supper sometimes at the stand, right? Mm-hmm. So we were there, and a truffle guy was coming. And I thought he was there to sell truffles to the stand or to put it on the dishes. Well, he just decided to stick around for the event. If you don't know, it's like a 5-6-course dinner service. And then myself and the two chefs and maybe some, we'll do some Q&A, but we get up on stage. We do a whole thing. Mm-hmm. We kind of talk about the dishes. The truffle guy gets up on stage with us. No one invited him.
Wow.
He had the truffle shaver. And what he was doing was he would go over people's drinks and like from a couple, like from like maybe like, half a foot to a foot away, he would shave truffle into. Nobody's asking. Nobody asked this guy for truffles.
Have you heard of a lethal shooter?
yeah.
A lethal shooter.
With like the rim with like the needles coming out of it.
With the spikes, yeah. He goes, but his thing is he'll shoot and make difficult shots. He'll be like, I understand it now. And that's he'll take one shot. He might miss, but he'll be like, I understand it now. And then boom. He shot a gummy bear into like an Evian water bottle from distance.
It's not just basketball.
No, it's not just basketball. Just picture the concept. A little water bottle, like one of these or whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously with no cap. And shooting gummy bears into it from a 3-point distance.
All right. Well, imagine that was someone, instead of a gummy bear, truffle and ruining your drink. Like,
is
yo,
trouble good in like alcohol?
No, dude. Someone handed me an espresso martini, jokingly goes, this is a $300 espresso martini. It is layered with truffles. Bro, don't nobody want that. It was just one of the wildest moments. Like, this guy literally just walking around has decided to make himself a part of the event.
Love
and people
it.
Are like thinking they can't say no. To the truffle guy. So, like, he's taking every dish and just pouring truffles over. In a way, this is cool. Like, you're now eating $200-$300 worth of truffles that you didn't know you wanted. And we're talking about white truffle, the expensive one.
Yeah. All right. I mean, look, I'm not super familiar with truffle, and I haven't had it that much. But, yeah, if somebody's just tossing this into my drink, I'd be a little bit.
It is like a fungus. It is a mushroom-like thing. Those are... chocolate truffles, very different. And you know, they're growing right now, and they spring truffles are coming out because the weather patterns are so messed up. Obviously, it's not the spring. Cool. All of it was like, yo, this is so dope. And then like an hour later, you're like, this guy's still here.
Man, the truffle guy overstayed his welcome.
Somebody who wasn't even at the event ordered a pizza, and this guy started shaving truffles over the pizza.
Damn, bro.
And they were like, bro, we can't hand that to this guy.
Yeah. Such a thing as too much truffle.
It's almost hard to explain how you made it much more expensive, but you ruined it. It's like people, like rappers, putting diamonds in a Rolex.
Sure.
It's like, yo, you spent $1 million to ruin the Rolex. You've now diminished the value of the Rolex by putting $1 million into it.
Yeah. Or even eating food with gold shavings on it. I'm like, this.
Every once in a while, I'm like, I get it, but does anybody want to eat gold shavings?
A gold steak? It's not. Yeah. It doesn't make it taste better.
No. There's a burger that. Layers the top of the bun with gold.
Yeah. Not a...
You're not into it?
I mean, also, once... what was it? Was it the Nicki Minaj song? The truffle butter? Once that...
Yeah.
Once that terminology came
Google
into...
Google it, folks.
I was like, I'm done with, with it being even interested. I'm not going to talk about what it is. Google it if you're interested.
You might be into it. You might not. I'm going to suggest you aren't.
But not a fan.
Let me tell you something. I put that in your espresso martini. You'd 100% return it.
It's a bigger problem.
100%.
Okay? Yeah. At least a bad Yelp review.
Yeah, for sure. Photo, video, 3 stars.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans right here, as always.
That's it, baby. Yahoo
Sports. Big weekend in footy.
you tried to power right through it.
We're going
to
talk all about it. Obviously, MLS playoffs, NWSL playoffs, Premier League.
Playoffs.
A bunch of stuff.
Let me tell you something. Both sets of playoffs are late.
Both sets of playoffs, without a doubt. Just everything happening in Europe, Ajax. We'll talk about all those things.
Oh, we're getting into all of it.
So let's get right into it because we have a big show. So MLS playoffs, Inter Miami. Se acabó.
You're done, son. Let me see if I get this right. There we go.
They are done. They are out of the playoffs. Eliminated.
Bro, Tim Cook must have punched his TV screen. Dude, how am I going to explain this to the shareholders?
This wasn't...
Brad Guzan himself dropped Apple shares, bro.
This wasn't the plan, bro.
Ain't what they paid for, bro.
This is not why you give. How much is Messi getting paid? 60 some odd million a season?
Is that what it is? Dude, I never saw the official number.
Yeah, the NWSLPA, you know, they put out the salaries of all the players. He is, he's getting paid quite a bit, handsomely, to play for Inter Miami.
60 million?
It's 64, I believe. I mean, this is probably a combination of all, you sponsors and everything.
Do you know how many truffle butter martinis I can get with that? That's crazy.
But Atlanta United get it done in three games, beating Inter Miami at home.
Was it the points difference? In the regular season, like 40 points?
Something like that. Dude.
That's a whole other season.
This is why you want to be in first place. Why you want to win the Supporters' Shield to play the weakest team in your conference. And
psych.
It wasn't so weak. I mean, you got to give credit.
Over a three-game series.
And to beat them.
Bobby Valentino's the manager, bro. Slow down. I just want to get to know you.
And this is one of, I think, one of the most historic and entertaining.
Is this the biggest upset in MLS history?
I have, without a doubt.
I don't even want to know what else happened.
Because, I mean, look, and we have to take in all the sort of stakes, right? Like, obviously, how many people are watching and how many people care about Messi? You also think about, you know, David Beckham when he was playing for the Galaxy. They also lost his first year in the playoffs as well. So it's not like unheard of for something like this to happen, but it's Messi. And it wasn't Beckham coming.
It's also Suarez and Busquets.
Exactly.
And
the Galaxy
and Jordi Alba.
Beckham didn't come with Roberto Carlos.
Yeah, he didn't bring the homies out. Batistuta wasn't running around.
And Zidane. Yeah.
Raul didn't show up in LA.
A historic defeat. I mean, with the amount of money that was put for this Inter Miami team, and now that we're at this point where they lost, and I think people are getting out of the shock, we have to just be realistic and be like, yo, Messi was not that good throughout this series, not good enough. Without a doubt. And even in this game.
Wait, the people that did you not, were you not one of the people that voted for him for MVP?
I did vote for him for MVP, but he was not good enough in this series, in the playoffs. He the game right before, the last game of the season, gets a hat trick. Then in the game one, he doesn't score, or I don't think he scored or got an assist. I don't remember exactly. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But the that first game, not super, super kind of like impactful. Game two, same thing. But this game in particular, game three, how many, and you watch the game, how many misplaced passes did Messi make? How many times did he give the ball away? And you can set,
but because it's Messi, I'm assuming like, yo, why weren't you there?
Right.
It's like, receiver of said pass.
You were not in the correct placement to receive that.
If you are where you were told to be, you need to be wherever Messi was supposed to pass.
He turned the ball over probably like, I don't know, maybe like four or five times, just like making passes. Not even that like that were necessarily very difficult, but where, to me, there's no pass that's too difficult for Lionel Messi. He should be able to figure it out
if he can see it.
And we've seen it before, and we've seen it this season. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of passes, bro, Dax McCarty had two incredible.
Dax McCarty was
Dax and Brad Guzan. They walked in. They turned off the heating pads in their cars. They put on their orthodontist shoes. And they wore
orthodontist.
You know what I mean?
Orthodontic
shoes.
Orthopedic.
Oh, there we go.
Is that their dentist shoes? I'm like, I don't get it.
They were doing teeth in the parking lot for some reason. The orthopedic shoes, and they put one hand on their lower back and stunned and slowly walked into that arena.
They threw the cane away.
Yeah, and man, they dialed that clock back.
Dax was incredible.
I think back to, and I said this on Morning Footy, but Bradley Wright Phillip was on the Cooligans. He said the player that made him realize, like, oh, dude, these Americans ain't no joke, was Dax McCarty. Mm-hmm. And then Dax must have heard that. And said, "Yo, I'm gonna show Messi the same damn thing."
Because not only was Dax kind of just all over the field, but he played, I think, a much bigger role, especially at his age and sort of what he's been doing at, what he was doing at Nashville, just captaining that midfield, being like being that general. And this game, he did that more than. He's almost like one of the best games of the season of just being that guy. He did a lot of defensive duty. He faced up 1v1 against Messi when necessary. But they end up giving up a goal after he gets subbed out in like the 60th minute. But the two passes that he made were
line breaking
passes and passes that you think Messi would make.
Yep.
And he just this is where I give credit to Atlanta United, because they had a plan on how to face this team. And
over the course of three games, you can really see that plan
and it was
come to fruition
on counters, on change of possession. And you could see Dax, as soon as Atlanta got the ball, Tiare, who had a fantastic game as
incredible game,
scoring two goals. But he, the combination of an Inter Miami very weak defense and very bad on counters. How many times were they running back to try to to stop a break or whatever?
Really put Drake Callender in a tough position throughout this game.
And Drake Callender, I think, also probably could have made
mistakes.
Some saves there out of the three goals.
Just say it's not easy when there's an entire squad barreling at you and you can barely see a pink shirt.
And so I thought Atlanta handled this so well, even after going down a goal in this third game. It was just a great performance. And I was making jokes all game. I'm just like, Garber's upset. You know, Tim Cook is upset. You know, they're like, there was also a little bit of a feeling like, even the ref, and I'm not implying any of, anything shady.
No, of course not. We'll talk about shady refs in a minute.
But the moment, you know that the ref is also aware of the moment.
I'm trying to make this moment, bro.
Okay. We know he's like, wait, how many Apple TV subscribers we got? It's on his mind. And you could tell, I thought the game was officiated in a way that was very favorable to Inter Miami. There were a lot of probably cards that were not issued.
I've seen some tweets about there being 12 Inter Miami players on the pitch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were like literally.
No. But yeah, I think you get what I'm saying.
I'm just saying that out of this, you could tell there was a sort of nervousness in the referee. I don't know his name, but there was a nervousness of like, oh, whoa,
Am I gonna be
reffing the game that Inter Miami loses, and you could sort of look. Obviously the push in the net after Messi scores the tying goal.
That is wild.
That was Campana. Obviously this is Messi's goal. Messi's second goal. The second goal for Inter Miami and ties the game. And it's a tremendous moment. And we're looking at it now. I mean, and it's. It's pretty hilarious.
There's no way. Like, look, there's at least one to two moments where Brad Guzan looks every bit of 40-something during these games.
Yeah.
But in this situation, there is zero way to exit this position gracefully.
He's a he is a
tuna caught in a, he's a what's a dolphin caught in a tuna net?
He is a like when a bug caught in a spider web. You know what I mean? He's like, no, no. I mean, bro, and this
you ever see like when a wrestler gets tangled in the ropes?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's for show. This one is not.
So I mean, look. Obviously, Campana should not be pushing.
No, but that's because Brad and Lionel and Messi come together to try to stop the ball.
Yeah, because Messi wants to get the ball back to kick off quickly. And Kuzan gives him a little bit of a little bump, yeah. Bumpy bump.
Yeah, yeah,
boom,
yeah.
Boom, right there. Hey, and that's it. As soon as you push
touch
or bump
Messi,
the goons are going to come after you. And it's like
the average salary players are suddenly right up on you.
The man got, he's on a max TAM contract. Yeah. He's going to be
said,
like,
I'll go back. I ain't scared.
Like, go back where? Yeah, Argentina? Yeah, yeah. Or what are you talking about? Even though Campana's Venezuela, I know that. Anyway, so that's why it happened. Now, Does Guzan deserve a yellow card for bumping Messi? No. Does Campana, this is a blind, you blindsiding the dude.
You can't do this in any other circumstance. You take Messi out of the picture. This is absolutely, I can't not laugh when I see it. And I feel bad because I know I couldn't do anything more in this situation.
You can't not look goofy and
no,
silly
you just
falling into the net like
he
this.
He did kind of almost like jump out of it. Like if... hip thrust his way into Luis Suarez. But Luis Suarez, knowing the dude needs your help, and you go over and just to taunt them.
You go to yell at him. Why do you yell at him about what? This is one of my favorite things about this series was there was a lot of back and forth.
That tension was real.
And I don't know if you saw the comments of from Jordi Alba afterwards. No. About he said that he thinks this format is unfair. He felt that basically what they should do is that the champion of the Eastern Conference and the champion of the Western Conference should play in one game to determine the champion of the league. And Jordy,
yeah, I don't know if you know how this money works, Jordy, but that's not going to get you 3 weeks worth of ratings.
That ain't vibing with my wallet right now.
What if
Jordy?
You do stop the game every minute to remind people to get Continental tires?
Bro, what do you mean? Are you gonna suggest next that we shouldn't be playing through international breaks? Yeah. Ridiculous.
What are you gonna? What? Hold on, Jordi Alba. You got ideas about what happens to the bottom three teams in this league?
No, we can't. You don't infect our American soccer system with your European nonsense.
Nah, bro. This is what. Look, we had this conversation with the Pilgrims. Okay, you can't bring some of the stuff from back home.
Okay,
when you get here, bro. Some stuff in America just works a little
exactly,
different.
Bro. Leave those blankets back in.
Yeah,
back in Europe,
making me itch, fam.
Yo, it's not a good gift. You don't bring this to dinner. This was a hilarious moment. And again,
it sucks for Brad Guzan because what are you going to do? There's no way.
I love that.
Can't be smoother than this.
Even Dax McCarty had shared this as well and was making jokes about it. And it's much easier to laugh about it after.
I'm surprised they have Wi-Fi on Spirit Airlines.
I know.
Did you see?
That was the other thing with Dax McCarty posting.
His
wife
took credit for it. She goes, I'm the cheap one. I bought his tickets on Spirit Airlines. He just beat Lionel Messi in the playoff. And the next thing he's in a Spirit Airlines flight.
With his 2-year-old. And his 2-year-old was crying on the plane. So it was really, really
brutal.
Really, really funny.
I have an idea for flights. They should have one for the children. Like they fly separately, like Air Force One and Air Force Two.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Just have
parents. I want to be on the parent flight. I'm on the adult flight. And then right after that lands the kids flight.
Got it. All right. Yeah. Just segregate the children from the adults.
I don't have to hear them scream.
I want
to
be on the kids plane playing in the ball pit.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, if you're an adult and you want to be on the kids plane, we got questions. Yeah. TSA is going to take the time with you.
Well, they're going to need some kind of chaperone.
Yeah,
bro.
The flight attendant.
Are the kids flying the plane too? Yeah.
Some childless dude being like, I'll go on that flight. All right. Okay. But you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
Flight's canceled.
We tried it. It just not.
What? Nah.
We had the wrong people volunteer
right?
for this.
Drake wants to fly on that plane for some reason.
Anyway.
Obviously, New York City as well.
Yes. The other thing, before we move on from Miami, the third goal. Sleash scores that goal. And the controversy, Aviles is on the ground and he's clearly in pain or something's going on. So he decides he falls onto the ground. They continue playing and goal happens because all the Inter Miami players are basically saying like, stop the game.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, Atlanta United is not required to do
that. Did you hear a whistle?
Did not hear a whistle.
Okay. I feel like some of these Inter Miami players have played long enough.
Don't understand why.
Luis Suarez is 65 years old. Buddy. You know the rules.
I do not understand why they didn't continue playing, didn't continue defending. You give up that goal in late in the game. It was like in the 70-something-th minute. Brutal. But I've watched the footage back over and over. Mm-hmm. I do not understand what happened to Aviles. I haven't heard anything. I don't know what injury he had. He was substituted right after that moment. But all I see is him playing. I think there was maybe a bump with somebody or whatever, but nothing. He's standing, waiting to defend and waiting for a cross.
And next thing you know, he's on the ground.
And next thing you know, he like collapses to the ground. And now I can't tell if it was serious. I haven't heard anything reported about it.
Is it conchafitis?
Yeah, you have to wonder.
Yeah.
But even if that's the case, if maybe he was injured and something happened, or even just maybe if it was like maybe he was trying to, you know, being very conchafitis time with. Yeah. That's the worst time to do it. You don't have the ball. You're in your opponent is in a dangerous space. The game is on. It's a single game elimination.
It's dumb. It was fake.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but
it's an unspoken rule that you stop play, kick it out of bounds. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And until you hear a whistle, and if it was a head injury, the ref would have stopped it on his own.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I can promise you that will happen as a result of this match. I think we're done. I think Don Garber's like, you know what? No more 3-game series. This doesn't really give us what we want. You know what I mean?
You would imagine that, they don't want this to happen. Obviously, the amount of money that is lost in the potential interest in Miami moving through.
This is why I like the Canadian Premier League's playoff system.
Why?
We've talked about this before, by the way. Shouts to Calgary Cavalry.
Cagliari?
Calgary, probably where that name comes from. I think about it. Calgary Cavalry won. I think it's the first team in their history to not be. Hamilton Forge has won them all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool for them. It's the same finals last year. But here's what happens. Number one and number two play each other first in the playoffs.
Okay.
The winner immediately goes to the final as host. The loser drops down into the bracket. And it has to fight it out to get back to be the visiting team in the final.
All right, yeah.
So at the beginning of the playoffs, you now know who is hosting the final, and that team gets to rest.
Yeah.
So this would have been what Jordi Alba suggested. It would be the number one in the East versus the number one in the West play each other.
Yeah.
Loser drops into the playoffs. Winner sits at home and waits.
This is at home, but they're sitting at home for 90 days until the playoffs.
Well, because we got a couple international breaks.
So,
hey, everyone's healthy.
You'd have to adjust things a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really not that terrible.
It's kind of a genius idea. And now everybody knows we can start planning the final.
For the sake of making money and, you know, and Miami being a part of it.
Right, the argument is you want your best team to not be in the playoffs.
Exactly.
But the playoffs are enough of a draw.
Yeah. Maybe so. Look,
there's also 10 teams in the Canadian Premier League, so it's not exactly.
Yeah, it's an option.
A little different than 28 or 29.
But yeah, I think this is just a huge moment, I think, in what, even how we sort of perceive what Messi's impact was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because this was not it. And
there's always next year, Messi. How long is that contract?
Isn't it wild that we've held an MLS Cup before Lionel Messi? I don't know.
It's crazy.
So, okay, yeah.
That's y'all MVP?
New York City FC.
Bro, what a game.
What a game.
Let me ask you, because maybe your experience was different, because I think this will shock people. You and I don't text each other during these games and stuff.
We do not.
Unless something really major happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost text you during these penalties, because I started getting PTSD from the penalties against Orlando.
Yes, I remember those. Yeah, that was the...
Schlegel comes in
as goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Gallesa sent off for being off his line, gets a second yellow.
I started getting PTSD because all of a sudden, both teams start missing penalties. Mm-hmm. FC Cincinnati and NYCFC. And I'm like, and then Kevin O'Toole comes up. We've just been on our show.
We were just on the show on Thursday.
And this is right when the moment where I started texting you. And I said, if this man misses, you and I will not hear the end of it. He misses. I put the phone down. I didn't know what to do in this moment. And then all of a sudden, the next player misses.
Yes. FC Cincinnati player misses.
And I was like, oh, thank God. We are not going to get blamed for this.
Uh-huh. And then Andres, was it Perea afterwards?
Yeah, Perea. And he skies it.
And he skies it, yeah.
And he had beaten the keeper. He guessed correctly which direction to go, but he skies it. And I thought to myself, oh, we're cursed.
Yeah.
But Ilinich with the Ilinich. Shush.
But no, I mean, Ilinich was incredible. I mean, some of the penalty takers, the game itself, I thought was well played from both. Matt Fries is the reason why.
100% stood on his head.
NYCFC won that game.
I think you saw the positive and the negative of a three-game series across all these playoffs. In particular, this one, it felt like these two teams knew too much of each other.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean?
This third game, especially, I was nervous.
Yeah.
And it felt like,
by the way, is the fourth or fifth game in a month against these two teams playing each other. So I'm like, already, I'm like, this guy knows what he's about to do with the ball, man.
There was it had a pitcher's duel.
Yeah, very
feeling,
much so.
Like, just like nobody could figure out how to score. It ended up 0-0. So that's why I went to penalties. But
Alonso Martinez had a goal called off.
Yeah, for offside, right? Which was like, yeah, I mean, it was so close. But Matt Fries had an unbelievable game. But the penalty takers, I just want to give a shout out to a couple folks. Keaton Parks. Unbelievable penalty.
Yeah.
And then Justin Hack, the hold in his ear. that
we've seen this boy become a man.
Exactly. The growth, the development.
Yes.
I remember seeing him, you know, when just as an academy kid,
he'll look nothing like Cavani no more.
He was thinner than me.
Yeah, he'll look nothing like Cavani, bro. This dude been in the gym.
This dude is a unit now. Yeah. And he rocketed that ball. That looked like, you know, when you watch an FA Cup, FA Cup penalties or whatever, when you're seeing two Premier League teams take penalties, they look different
than
almost any other league. There's just like, whatever, the skill.
There's no nervousness. They're like, I'm going to place it exactly where I want. Like, they pick out the square in the net.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Hit.
The quality, the confidence.
Yeah.
That looked like a Premier League penalty.
That was a big man penalty.
He hit that ball so damn hard, so not accurate, side netting. Celentano had no chance.
There was a Scottish announcer once who said something about a penalty. He must have been the former player. He was the color commentator because the other person asked him about it.
Yes.
When you kick penalties, what do you do? He goes, I had no grace. I just thought if I hit it hard enough, you can't stop it. And that's exactly what this felt like. Like, I not only am I going to place it, but I'm going to hit it so hard.
Yeah, there were, I believe, four chances for NYCFC to win the game.
Yeah.
And their penalties either were missed or stopped. But James Sands as well.
Sands?
You saw the band in the penalty as well. I'm like, yo, these are defenders, essentially.
Another person we've known since they were a child.
It's remarkable. And then Ilinich, yes, with the final penalty. And he had comments after the game.
They were chanting something about.
I don't know what. But the FC Cincinnati fans were apparently jawing at the NYCFC players quite a bit. So that's why they kept doing that. That's why Justin Hack held his ear up. And that's why Ilinich told them to shush.
As he's being carried around like a rag doll.
So, honestly, I think maybe...
Hudson River Derby, dude.
That's exactly... But what I think is, going forward, what these three-game series tend to give us, especially if they get to three games, is we have like these new little rivalries.
Right? You don't think Miami, Atlanta is a big deal? New York City FC?
New York City and Cincinnati? Like, to have a matchup like that, you don't think they're thinking about next season?
Little revenge now.
Little revenge. So, no, I was impressed with how the series went and for it to end in that fashion where the penalty seemingly looked like nobody wanted to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, excited obviously for our team to continue on.
Yeah.
But bro, that
maybe
was...
we flip a coin again. You know what I mean? We're here to help you out.
I don't know. We're just saying that
we're offering.
Well, we have about 2 weeks to decide.
Right, you got time. And baby. That's
an interesting thing. The game, the Hudson River Derby, will be at Citi Field.
Yes.
The Which stadium again, attendance.
I kind of like it.
I like it too.
I much prefer it.
The only thing, that there's a couple odd things. The stadium attendance is capped at 22,500. Because, do you know why?
The circus.
The circus. There's going to be the circus in the Citi Field parking lot.
But why does that cap attendance? That should only cap
parking. Because of parking. Because of parking. That's really the main thing.
Who cares? Take a train.
I think there has to be some level of management of those people, because people are still going to kind of drive. I think that's their main worry, that there might be too many cars. So I'm sure there's some city ordinance or something that they have to like respect. So that's why they have to cap.
Damn.
So that's the only disappointing part. But still, 22,500 people at Citi Field will still be pretty awesome. But it's a little less than, I think, kind of, it's around the average of what NYCFC right. games kind of are. But I saw you interviewed Lewis Morgan.
Yeah.
On the game, he seemed very, you know, not hyping up this derby. He seemed calm about it. Like, yeah, I don't care who we play. You care. Don't act like you don't care.
Buddy, stop acting like the coaches don't care. The players don't care.
Bro, no, I'm excited for that. All right, let's talk Orlando, Charlotte. Another game three that was a shock that I think to some that it even got to a game three to begin with.
Yeah, were they all upsets? Now that I'm thinking about it, was all of MLS?
Orlando beating Charlotte is not an upset. I mean, the Charlotte was definitely the underdog.
Right. But is that the only one for the East?
No. Red Bull beating Columbus is probably the biggest of all the upsets.
No, that's what I'm saying. So Charlotte, arguably,
obviously Miami losing is the biggest is the biggest.
Yeah,
upset.
No, but I think every underdog won except Orlando, Charlotte. No,
I don't know. Okay, we can. Look at the table.
Do you not remember this?
I don't remember who won or why. You know, I have the Western Conference on my mind as well. But no, the fact that Charlotte were leading in this game in the 80th minute, I think we were ready, primed for an upset. And the...
Okay, yes. Orlando Charlotte was the only one where the underdog didn't advance.
Okay. So, not the only one where we weren't surprised.
Yeah.
But this result, Swiderski gets the game leading goal in the 81st minute. They are winning the game. I'm like, wow, this is literally, I was getting the tweet ready. I'm like, man, Dean Smith came from England, was like, yo, let me work with an MLS. Credit to him from, you know, a Premier League manager mm-hmm. coming to MLS, learning our ways, learning Gam and Tam.
Right? He figured it out real quick. He said, I don't need a year.
And what ends
He's
up...
He's like, yeah, playoffs. I get it. Let's go.
You know, there was the red card mm-hmm. to in game one to BL, which made everything more difficult. And, you know, they win game two, and I thought they had it. And I had the tweet ready to go. Like, man, even Mauricio Pochettino was at this game. Mm-hmm. There was a...
To see who? Tim Ream is older than you, dog. You know how he
Garber was at... Garber, Pochettino, they were all at this game. But... I was just like, whoa, this is Dean Smith.
You know,
made something.
Was like, I'll see Messi in the next round. I don't need to go now.
I think without a doubt, that was part of it. But there was that feeling of like, man, Dean Smith made something out of nothing, really like turned things around. And bro, so Swiderski gets that goal and then the penalty. And I felt bad for Charlotte. I felt bad for their fans. We've been to Charlotte. We've seen a game there.
And I felt worse for Duncan McGuire.
Duncan McGuire.
His shoulder pops out. Man.
This is the second separated shoulder we have in these playoffs. Brooks Lennon is out for the rest of the playoffs after getting injured in the first game. Or it was the first game or second game. I don't remember. I think it was the first game.
Damn.
Which also just but it was different. Brooks Lennon fell to the ground and separated his shoulder.
Like in the bracing.
In the in the impact touching the ground. Duncan McGuire seemingly popped his shoulder from the shirt pull.
I think it's the way his body was twisted and he hit the ground.
I it's hard to tell when right. the actual.
But he got up on some like Bear Grylls. He got up. He tried to do it himself. He tried to put his arm back in the socket himself. couldn't. And then he's like, you know what, physio? I'm coming to you. He sprinted to the physio.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. Seeing the him, like, basically creating his own, what was it, like stabilizing his own arm.
Yeah, his own splint.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're called. Sling, his own sling.
Yeah, and walking over. And then you see the physio being like, I've been here before.
Knew exactly what to do.
It's like, man, this guy, he's earned every dollar.
If you're at home with just your wife and your child, and someone knocks on your door and says, my arm is dislocated, my shoulder's been dislocated,
yeah,
what would you do? You'd be like, get out of my house, I'm calling 911.
The first thing I'd be like, there's a YouTube tutorial for this. Okay?
Hold on, let me pull up Orlando's YouTube.
The YouTube tutorial is called Lethal Weapon 2. Yeah, you know? Because it's just,
I need to get you a Buick and you need to smash your shoulder into it.
And that's, I, because of that movie,
that's,
I think,
all I think about.
That's literally when anybody separates a shoulder, I'm like, this isn't even a big deal.
No,
all you gotta do is smash your shoulder into a filing cabinet.
Yeah, or into the A pillar of a vehicle.
So yeah. But then Duncan McGuire, after the, so he also does not get subbed out. Orlando, you know, they win in penalty. I guess it was remarkable.
This was the 97th minute.
Yeah.
So the match was pretty much about to end at this point.
But then Duncan McGuire, was this the separated shoulder? I don't even know. He's
game three.
He's,
we'll see y'all in the next round. Vamos, Orlando.
He's doing the post-game social selfie for Major League Soccer.
Hey, I know your arm just fell out of the socket, but real quick, would you mind getting this for socials? Thanks.
Hey, oh, Duncan, sorry, I don't mean to bother, but
Andrea Pilar chasing him around the pitch. We just need one.
Just one little bit. It's always no big deal. So funny. So he looks like he's fine. Maybe,
or he's just like so dizzy. He's like, yeah, I'll do the socials.
So hopefully he's okay. But it looked like he wanted to go back in the game and he was ready to take a penalty if necessary.
That's
so,
a gamer right there.
So you love to see it. Impressive stuff from Orlando. Sorry to Charlotte. What are you going to do? It happens.
And these playoffs are lit, man.
Yeah, you don't. Why did he pull the dude's shirt?
Oh, it's disgusting.
In the box.
In the 97th minute.
And VAR, I believe, looked at it, and the ref was like, no, it's a pen. Because some people were claiming it was a dive. But 97th minute, you pull my shirt. I'm like, I am doing Neymar rolls on the ground.
You are going to think there's snipers on the roof the way I'm flopping around.
So just a terrible decision because the goalkeeper, Kalina, is probably catching that ball. Yeah. It was just a very, very, lack of
focus.
Hey,
we got a Hudson River Derby in the playoffs. Let's go.
I mean, no, these play. Also, congrats to LAFC beating Vancouver. Vancouver.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a couple chances.
That game two was big for Vancouver, but that was seemingly it.
Yeah. So it's a bummer for them. But these playoffs have been
super lit.
Remarkable to say the least. So we'll talk. We're going to talk some Europe stuff and then we're going to wrap up with NWSL playoffs. So come right back after this.
Welcome back to the show. Let's talk a little EPL because, Manchester City lost again 4 times in a row, by the way. You know, that's the first time in Pep's career he's lost 4 in a row.
I haven't seen
that. That's even going back to Barca B.
Jeez.
Never lost 4 in a row.
It's getting a little old, don't you think?
Bro.
You're going to win a game ever?
Jeez.
I had tweeted. I'm like, is Pep getting sacked?
Bro, this is why Manchester City fans are nowhere near as toxic as some Arsenal fans.
Because
if this was Arsenal, there'd be Arteta out already.
After 2.
And I haven't seen one Pep out.
Yeah. Which is, what a privilege.
Yeah.
They have. Oh, you win 4 Premier League titles in a row. And all
you
of a sudden,
think you're just allowed to lose as many as you want?
I'm pretty sure Troops is already Arteta out again.
Yeah, he is. That's one of the reasons. I love Troops. You know that. But toxicity, Arsenal fans, doesn't necessarily mean I can't. You know, you're not my friend. Also, doesn't mean I don't agree with you sometimes,
Pep,
by the way.
Pep is definitely shielded from a lot of that toxicity because, he's the best manager that has ever existed. I mean, I'm comfortable saying that.
Right. You're not really going out on a limb.
Yeah. I mean, attack me if you want.
Yeah. And there they go. They're now typing. I can hear them.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode. Like, well, how is this happening again to Brighton?
At the end of the day, it's also only two of those losses are in the Premier League. So
yes,
it's really not that big of a deal. And I think for me as an Arsenal fan, it's like, bruh, you couldn't catch up a little bit more than 1 or 2 points. Arsenal, Chelsea, and Nottingham Forest and Brighton all sitting at 19 points. And you got Manchester City at 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this
tough
is
place to be.
A missed opportunity for a lot of the teams beneath Manchester City, but not Liverpool.
Because I don't think it's going to be five teams in a row. But you know, you mentioned Brighton. That's a huge game. It's a huge game for Brighton to come back, to score too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's huge.
And
their manager's 32 years old, 31, 32 years old. Mm-hmm. It's wild,
yeah,
man.
He was, he's used to playing with Pep Guardiola in FIFA.
He's like, I know how they're going to play, dog.
This is this is something where I ask myself, I'm like, is Rodri that important to this team?
Well, I mean, you lose the Ballon d'Or winner. Yeah. You're going to struggle a little bit.
But Rodri misses games here and there. They don't look necessarily lost. This is a different kind of group of players.
They have a couple injuries, right? Like Kevin De Bruyne just got back.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Bob, I think, is missing. There's a couple of, I don't know what's happening. I think someone's throwing Yadro figurines outside of our door. It's right when we record. I think what you're finally seeing is, what does Manchester City look like when they don't have three, first 11s? Two extra first 11s sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, this...
Kovacic played well, too. Ilkay Gundogan, it's taking a little while to get up to speed, I think.
Bringing back Gundogan, I think also... So the roster looks a little bit different than what we're kind of used to. Mateus Nunes, okay. Rico Lewis, right back. I mean, there's just like little changes that it always felt like plug and play. Didn't matter who we have there. They'll always kind of will always bring it. And it's starting to feel like the little changes are what's causing these losses.
Well, this is the problem that every other club in the world goes through, which is where you lose a first teamer. And there's, even if not a massive, there is enough of a drop down in that talent gap. There's enough of a gap in talent between your starter and your backup that if you now have to go to two or three backups, you are structurally a different team.
Yeah.
And this used to never really happen in Manchester City, where now it is.
It's happening four times in a row. Look, the goal that Erling Haaland scored, again, it starts as it normally does, and you see his brilliance, and I love his ability to shield. He shields the ball better than almost, I think, any player in the league, or probably even in the world. I mean, obviously, he's a unit,
and
you're not going to push him off the ball, but he's also he puts himself between the ball and the defender in such a perfect place where it doesn't affect his stride, it doesn't affect his speed, it doesn't affect his balance and his ability to take a shot with power. And this is what defenders cannot figure out.
It's not easy.
But it's not enough. If Haaland doesn't get those opportunities several times a game, you have a real opportunity, you have a real shot to beat Manchester City, and Brighton did exactly that. The first goal was kind of like messy and ridiculous, but the second one
he shot it and then got it back and somehow toe poked it.
Rico Lewis is on the ground, he gets to the ball and hits it in. But then the second goal was just like, yo, this is proper play. Similar to Sporting against City, where like they line breaking passes, and that's what.
Which you didn't see back in the day.
Yeah. So
back in the day, meaning last season and the previous three seasons before.
It's not necessarily terrifying, I think, for their title hopes.
Yeah, but don't we feel like this is what, I think this point last year, Tottenham were at top of the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of things can change from this point. I think the narrative, especially with English media, is like, well, you can't win the trophy this time of year, but you can certainly lose it. Sure. Are Manchester City losing that? Nothing is real until it's settled.
They lost four in a row, but they only lost two Premier League games. So
that's what I'm saying.
Nothing's that
scary.
Liverpool,
for them.
Though, seemed to be kind of getting away, kind of building that gap. I mean, they're
we
stretching.
Were talking
stretching?
About
stretching. There's a word.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
What is wrong with my brain today?
But Liverpool, you know, I said this last week. I mean, they look like they're having a good time.
Yeah, but they haven't really had a toughest stretch yet. Yeah,
but have you seen some of the comments for about your Liverpool takes last week? Basically,
what did I
say? Like, you're basically like,
I don't read the comments, but hit me.
You're essentially you're just being dismissive of Liverpool. Like you were talking about the winter break, not the winter break, but the Boxing Day game, the fixture that they're not going to be able to handle it.
Hold on a second. In a way, yes, I am being dismissive, but Arne Slot just got here, fam.
Okay.
He don't know nothing about that winter break. That winter break is taking out a much bigger managers than just him, especially in the first season.
Yeah.
It's really tough when they just don't stop playing these games and you're supposed to be active in multiple competitions.
Yeah, I don't have any real reason to doubt that they're gonna do okay during that Boxing Day stretch.
Look, that's when injuries start to settle.
Obviously, anything is possible, but again, Liverpool, all their players are playing fantastically, whether it's Darwin Nunez and whether it's Luis Diaz, Mohamed Salah, Szoboszlai.
Yeah, they're stacked. Everybody. He's got Gravenberch playing at a level that we have never seen Gravenberch
play.
But
it's not even that they're stacked. It's not necessarily on paper a stacked squad.
No, they're stacked with talent.
They are, but there's a little bit of like, you don't think there was a little bit of risk in bringing in like Luis Diaz, that he would perform at the level that he's performing?
Because they do the XG thing. They do like Moneyball, essentially. They bring
And that's never failed once.
No, but what I'm saying is they're really smart about players they bring in. They're like, at the end of the day, we know this guy's a gamer.
Yes, and I'm just, even with, you know, that was a Klopp signing, and the fact that it's essentially working out pretty well, and Slot has not had to make any drastic changes. The midfield is a little different. Gravenberch getting
Klopp
down.
I think only failed one signing. What, Naby Keita?
Okay, yeah, that's about it. Yeah, maybe. That's a good example.
Konate maybe didn't have the greatest start, but he built himself into a wonderful center back.
But they look.
You got a different one.
Carvalho?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he missed on two.
Where is he? Carvalho's in Fulham now, right? Where is he? Yeah. There's a... again, they're playing with this spirit and joy.
Good shot, buddy.
And they made even, like, Salah's...
They do seem like more of a team now than they did in the past. Because remember, like, Salah had beef with Klopp towards the end there?
Yeah, yeah.
He was upset about getting taken off in a match early. It was all a bunch of kids.
A lot of people are not happy with Klopp nowadays.
Well, yeah.
In the next segment, we'll talk about the whole refereeing thing. But, yeah, they made...
I think you meant because of Red Bull.
No. They made Villa look a little pedestrian.
Which Villa's kind of also done to themselves the last few weeks. I just feel like Liverpool have had not an easy schedule, but a softer schedule than they have coming up. So they've gotten through the easy part now. Let me see you get through the tough part.
All right. You heard it.
Look, they're about to go play Real Madrid.
Let the comment section, let them know. Why is he going
to
go? I'm an Everton fan. I'm like, at least give them their flaw. They look amazing.
All right. Now I got to go to the comment section just see what y'all saying about me.
So, and then Chelsea.
Bring it on.
Chelsea and Arsenal. A game where.
This was it. 9 points is the gap between Arsenal and Liverpool. Can I tell you? Do you know one thing that's never happened before in the Premier League?
What's that?
A team has made up a 9-point difference and won the league.
The gap is lengthening.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's stretching, dude.
It's stretching. So
I think at the end of the day, I'm like happy with the result in a way because I was like, okay, I think Arsenal played well. You saw Martin Odegaard come back. Martinelli scored. I still think he's having a down season, and I'm almost lost complete confidence in it. And I've lost all trust in him when he gets the ball at his foot.
Okay.
But you score a goal. Maybe that's the turn. You know, I saw some real positive things. You know, Declan Rice clearly got a bunch of injections in his broken toe.
But he played.
Don't know if he had the best game he's ever had, but whatever. He got out there and he played. It feels like we're going to start to get players back. Things are going to start to smoothen out. But... And to go to Stamford Bridge and to get it to secure a point against a team that's very good. They were in third place. If they still are.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very good Chelsea team. I think Enzo Maresca is an absolutely incredible coach. But 9 points, we may be out of the conversation. As Arsenal, maybe out of the conversation for a title.
I'm thinking, like, are they going to be in Champions League next year? That's the concern.
I think that's
I
bare
have.
Minimum.
Yeah.
That's bare minimum.
Hey, look, this game... I felt like, especially after having the lead, I was like, Odegaard coming back. I mean, the and he's the one who gets the assist on the goal. The sauce is back.
Also, that Kai Havertz goal that got overturned. Yeah, oh, yeah, so ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, that's VAR, where the game baby. Is. That's where the game
which
is.
Which I'm right fine now. With because it sometimes goes our way, sometimes it doesn't. But I think at the end of the day, I think I understand, and maybe, you know, I'll be a little toxic. I can hear the chatter for Arteta out, or there's more questions being asked. Now with Adu being out and all the whole spotlight now is simply on Mikel Arteta, I think there's some questions that need to be answered. Some of these signings haven't gone correctly. Think about it. We were very close to signing Mudryk, and look how terrible that turned out. You know, not having a striker, having Kai Havertz.
You dodged the bullet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that was the name that they were going for. They were trying real hard. It was Chelsea had to go and, you know, add a $25 million donation to the war. You know what I mean? They had to go crazy to sign him where Arsenal would have gotten him. Would that have been a bad signing? Sambi Lokonga, if you look back, didn't work out. Fabio Vieira's on loan at Porto. That technically didn't work out. Not at the level that would have been expected. Certainly not an Arsenal caliber player. There's a couple of signings you can go through. There's some, you know, Mikel Merino having another dual winner. Seems like Arsenal's only gone out and gotten dual winners. No one that can really be a game changer outside of Odegaard. Convincing Odegaard to come here and make this his home, and convincing Saliba during that sort of sticky time when Arsenal kind of didn't let him go play for France and made him stay at Saint-Étienne, and both his parents had passed away, or one of his parents passed away that it was very close to. There was a whole situation there where it looked like, you know, Saliba would have been gone from the team early doors. And I even said, like, dude, this will be one of the best center backs in the league, if not the best center back in the league. You have to go and sign this guy and make him secure his future at Arsenal. To get him to do that and to, you know, get Aubameyang out of the squad, get to turn over the front office and the back staff and get everyone pulling for the team, getting the stands to solidify around the team, bringing back, getting a song for the team, you know, in North London forever, the stands, the dog and all that. Everything seemed like the vibes were all positive. All right, you did that. That part of your 5-year plan was to win something. And now all that other stuff is done. Like, all that's out of the way. Now you got to win something.
Yeah, it's just the game I was watching, it was just disappointing to give up that goal to Neto.
You know, the most disappointing part is no one covered him. Martinelli was like, "I peace, y'all got him." And then no one came up. And then eventually you see Timber be like, "Yo, what the hell?" So he leaves his post, tries to slide. Gabriel tries to do the twist, and it just goes just past both of them and the outstretched hand of Donnarumma.
And just that moment of like, where is the defensive mid that should be right there? You see Gabriel Magalhães being like, "Yo, right there. Why isn't no one right there?"
Martinelli should have stayed with his man.
Yeah. Disappointing. Just like
no one got in his way, bro. He got like 2 to 3 step run and a shot.
So
you give that to a Premier League player, especially someone of the ilk of Pedro Neto, you're gonna get burned every single time.
So disappointing result for them. But so the table right now looks nothing too shocking. Obviously Liverpool at the top. Where's the table here? Here we go. Liverpool at the top, Man City in second, Chelsea, and then Arsenal. So this is it's not looking great, but we have to. Also, Nottingham Forest being in our Europa League place is pretty crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
The other thing. Before we get to the next segment, we have to talk about Ajax and Maccabi Tel Aviv. So this happened on Thursday.
Bug your seatbelts, folks.
So it's just a pretty wild thing, and I think it's something that my reaction to it is essentially what this game has sort of taught me or introduced to me.
This sport
is some of the kindest people that we're ever going to meet. We've traveled all over the world.
Right.
You meet there is something.
We've also met some pretty intimidating people.
Without a doubt. Yeah. That comes with it as well. But there's
some folks who just don't get the joke. You know?
Not huge fans of it. Yeah. So, you know, this is the line that we walk. But there's so much community and positivity that this game brings. You know, whenever we do events with like ISC, the Independent Supporters Council, and we do stand up for them, we meet the most like sort of diehard fans that are really you know, are about supporters and introducing everyone to the game. And what what also that also comes with, you know, I like remember when on my honeymoon I'm wearing an AC Milan shirt in Napoli.
In Napoli, yeah. And I was, could have gone wrong.
That could have gone wrong. And I learned my lesson very quickly and I was not treated very well. But, no cab drivers wanted to give me a ride. But I understand I made a mistake. I was a foreigner.
You disrespected the culture.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And but seeing
now, imagine you were in there smashing stuff up while wearing an AC Milan.
So this is the where I think what's frustrating is like we know the game and we understand those. We understand etiquette, just like I said,
there is a code of conduct when traveling that you follow.
Exactly, you are an away fan. You go into another city. You are guests. Even the most diehard supporters of the other team. They know that they're going to be going to your city at some point. They're not going to be rude to you because they don't want to be treated rudely when they're in your.
And also, there's some physical consequences sometimes if you're being disrespectful.
It is hooliganism. We've seen it. It's incredibly common. Now, what the whole story, but with the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, is abhorrent. It is unbelievable. The videos,
and we don't excuse violence on any side. But what we're talking about is when you go to another city, if you're a soccer fan, regardless of the geopolitical impact of what your team or where you're from may be, if you disrespect the city, if you're violent towards people in that city, if you are ripping stuff down that are innocent people have put up, have nothing to do with the game, even if it does have something to do with the game, if you are treating fans or even people in that city with disrespect, you're going to be handed that disrespect. Yeah. You are away from home.
You can't. I mean, obviously, you cannot be screaming, F the Arabs or
just anything that's disrespectful towards other people.
We all understand this. And the place where it's like, it feels like we're in like a crazy world, right? We watch Europa League and we see the hooliganism. It's happened. These are for the most part non-stories. We understand.
Conference League when was it West Ham and I forget the other team.
Yeah, but it's like
and the two guys fought off an entire thing to keep the families protected. We've seen this with the Uruguay national team had to go in and defend their own families.
For the most part, these are not stories. These are not things
side notes to
in our bubble, in our sphere. We're like, oh, who fought who? And like, oh, that was crazy. You shared.
Oh, man, those teams hate each other.
Yeah. And that's pretty much as far as it goes. But then when it gets to when the president of the United States, the prime minister of Canada, the Dutch king are all calling out this the anti-Semitic attacks and targeting and all this stuff. It gets to a place where like, wait, hold on. Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah. Well, let's also say maybe we don't know for certain that there weren't attacks that were just predicated on that either.
Sure.
So we hope there wasn't. But what we saw was hooligans disrespecting a city, hooligans from that city is sort of handing it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and at the end of the day, it just puts a stain on the sport that we definitely don't need.
And the thing, it puts a stain on the sport, but it also, the frustrating part for me was like, why is the sport being used as a tool to try to push whatever geopolitical incentive that people may have? Like, that's the part that feels gross.
Joe Rogan's reaction to this.
Rogan doesn't know the game.
He don't know what a ball being kicked even looks like unless it's oblong.
So that part of it feels terrible. And I mean, I've been seeing a lot of the tweets and remarks, and everybody's just like, the people in soccer, like, we all understand kind of what happened.
Yeah, the culture is you can come here and act a fool, but someone's going to now act a fool.
And that's the
you.
Main thing is that behavior cannot be condoned regardless of who is doing it. Whether it's Lazio fans who also hold horrible beliefs and stuff like that.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
But we've seen it. And we know like, hey, okay, you shouldn't behave that way. And we also know, like, if people do behave that way, there might be somebody that is not happy with it.
Can I tell you something? We went to PSG Lyon, right? To go see the Messi debut. And then we were doing like some little funny interviews, mm-hmm. and we were near the Ultra Bar. And I said to you, like, yo, there seems to be a couple guys in black hoodies staring at us.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should stop. And you were like, I think I want to do one more. I go, dude, look around. And you were like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, we're done. Is there a reason why we didn't go up to them and ask them silly interviews? You know, because you have a feeling that they're going to react with fists.
Yeah.
And that is the fear. That is the reason that stops people from being hooligans, is because other people are going to be hooligans with your face. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And the main thing is like the majority of the game and people who support this sport are not like that.
These are just regular people going to watch a game that love a team.
And there's a, you know, we all sort of accept it as like, oh, we can't really get rid of them. Like, they're an important part. They've been supporting this club for like whatever. Right. Like, everybody understands like hooliganism is like not completely gone.
Right. Yeah. But also like the super intense fans, we'll call them.
Yeah.
A lot of times leagues will be like, we don't want this in our league. But then it's the first thing you use for promo.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's an uncomfortable relationship already with it. It's part of the passion that sells the sport. But it's also something that you want to find a way to control it.
Yeah, and more than anything, it's like you can be an away fan, you can be a supporter, you can be super intense or whatever. You still have to be a kind person. You have to be a good person. You're traveling to another city. There's nothing in that like you mentioned code of conduct to suggest to be to instigate anything or to be racist or to be violent. We all know.
Imagine you went to Cleveland on a weekend trip. And you just picked up a chair in a cafe and threw it through the window. What do you think Cleveland people are going to do to you?
So that's
and that got nothing to do with a game.
So everybody has to be held to the same standard. Everybody. And that's that was the thing I was not seeing, because you see on these world leaders essentially
without full context.
Without full context. And it's like, that's not how this game works. We know that whenever we see some fight between any two rival groups, we're not like, oh, this one was definitely right. And what it's like, it's all bad. It shouldn't happen at all. Yeah. And none of it should
be. No one should go to a sporting event and feel like their life is in danger. And nor should people go to a sporting event and endanger anyone's lives.
Exactly. All right. We got some more lighthearted stuff to cover.
We promise.
So we'll be right back. NWSL playoffs. We had MLS playoffs. Those were exciting.
Yes.
NWSL playoffs also. Absolutely.
Bro, in both. Legend's career is over. Well, at least one of them it's a season. But yeah, Rose Lavelle ending an entire career, bro.
So obviously the games. Orlando completely dominated the Chicago Red Star. We haven't even talked about the Chicago Stars. Have you seen that?
Yeah, they're next year.
Next year, they're rebranding. The only thing that's weird, have you seen their logo?
It has a red star in it.
Yes, it does. It's Chicago Star, but it's not center aligned. So the stars is slightly off of the center. It's like, oh, now once it was.
This is like my complaint with the Philadelphia Union, has two P's and a space between the H and the P.
Yeah, there's like a strange decision, I guess. But yeah, dude, I'm going to put it up on the screen, but it's such a, just the A is not center aligned. You can see it right there. It's not aligned with the middle star line. You see it? You can see it clearly.
Yeah. But I don't know why the A doesn't feel like the middle of that word to me when I can see it is.
Exactly. I don't understand this decision. And it's one of those things that just makes me uncomfortable. I can't not see it every single time.
Yeah, there's two letters on each. I guess the R is thicker.
Yeah.
The R is thicker than the T.
They could have.
Which is, I've always said.
they could have done it right, right? I mean,
technically it is.
It's so weird. Anyway, so the Chicago Red Stars, they lose to Orlando. Orlando was, we're not going to talk too much about this game because it was a dominant performance. And the Red Stars, I felt like they didn't really have much of a shot in this game.
The best part about this is that Orlando gets to play Kansas City Current in what feels like a final.
Yeah, that's going to be a very exciting game. Did you see the Marta stepovers? She was dancing.
Bro.
She's that woman won't age.
Yeah. Bro, I just don't think she'll ever retire.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And there's something about having like having Barbara Banda on your team when you're when you are Marta, and then
finally you're like, oh,
and then you see the front office, you're like, ah, okay, now now I'm on.
Yo,
bring
I'm gonna dance with the ball, but then I'm gonna give it to you. You score. Are we
so
cool with that?
It's good to see how much fun she's having playing the game. Kansas City defeats the Courage 1-0 in the game.
What do you think of Vlatko saying that he feels like Temba Chawinga is being targeted, like they're hacking her because they can't stop her?
I mean, it's fairly obvious. I it doesn't necessarily seem.
He's kind of calling out the refs for not protecting her.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I mean, look, there's something I think that happened, I felt like I saw it through all four playoff matches. The fouls were a little more. They're a little foulier. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit more rough out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you see, you know, there's obviously these single game eliminations. There's a lot at stake, and. Not
you're
to
throwing
say,
your body into some of these tackles.
Not to say that there isn't the you know the hard tackle and the hard challenge during the season, but
of course
I was noticing it. You know, I could say the same thing about Trinity Rodman. Trinity Rodman was getting shellacked. You were getting violently kind of hit.
I think older stars, and you're like, yo, these are some valuable players. Y'all can get
chill. Don't mess with the bag,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, dog. Why are you scuffing up my most expensive shoes, fam?
So that makes sense to me. But Chawinga, who is probably going to be the MVP, obviously won the Golden Boot in NWSL. So not too shocking. But again, I'm surprised North Carolina only gave up one goal, and Kansas City didn't score more. Yeah. But this was a
Denise O'Sullivan, by the way, always amazes me when she plays. She's absolutely incredible for North Carolina.
So the other two games we got to talk about. We'll talk
Washington
beating Bay FC, which is this game went to extra time.
Yeah, Abby Dahlkamper going to Bay FC really helped solidify that defense.
Yeah, unfortunately the second goal was the second. Own goal from Caprice Didasco. Yeah. So that was a bummer.
Former defensive player of the year.
She just was trying to like clear the ball, ends up heading it into her own net.
Brutal.
But, again, like I said, yeah, I thought Trinity Rodman was remarkable in this game. This was a kind of a dull game for most of it, and then all the goals came towards the end. But Tyron McKeown, who scores the goal,
defender,
the first goal,
balling
up. Center back. Who scores a
the
striker,
most forward ass goal I think I've ever seen?
Who scores a striker's goal? And I think even in the broadcast they mentioned it was like, oh, former forward, and it's like, and then when you see her take the shot, you're like, oh yeah, that makes complete sense. So I've never really seen this much, but she is a number nine.
Yeah.
So a number nine
as a center back.
As a center back is, I don't know.
She's trying to remind y'all. Yeah, I used to be a forward, yo.
I don't know of many other times I've ever seen that. She is a converted striker to center back, but she has been center back this season for all season for the Spirit. But to keep the nine does it say something about her, or does it say something about like Ashley Hatch or whatever striker?
You gotta buy it from her.
Is that
how I would be?
She didn't want to sell it.
Yeah, or Ashley didn't want to buy it.
Maybe because there's some, or maybe she likes her own number.
Yeah, likes her own number.
But
yeah,
there's something uncomfortable to me about seeing a center back wearing the nine, because my soccer brain.
No, I feel that.
It's just like the Chicago Stars not being aligned.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, this doesn't feel right.
It's like when an academy kid in Mexico gets on the team, you're like, why is there someone with three digits on their right. back?
You know, this is a So it was interesting, but again, a big win for the Spirit. So obviously they're going to be facing Gotham FC.
Gotham
so we'll
FC,
talk. Gotham FC did play
incredible game
against the Thorns, and what an exciting game! This was another one where it felt like,
bro, those 12 minutes of extra time. I was like, no, come on, you can't do this.
This was a game I'm looking at this. There's no stats on this game for some reason. I'm gonna have to go on another site. But the fact that this all a game where another one where it took a long time to get the first goal, but. The Gotham is looking like, I mean, in the middle of the season, they had a little bit of this lull. And again, the signings of Rose Lavelle, Tina Davidson, Crystal Dunn. And you're like, oh, okay, the Galacticas, right?
Yeah.
And then it just, it never really like went into full gear. It never really came together. But
it seems to be doing that now. And
at the right time. At the right time.
That is probably the smartest thing to do, because both leagues that we've just talked about, MLS and NWSL, you got to get momentum heading into the playoffs because there's playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami, spent way too much time trying to win the Supporters Shield and not enough time trying to win MLS Cup. And now you're seeing this in NWSL. It's like, yeah, you could win the Shield, right? And maybe that'll help you as you go forward, but you got to win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And by the way, this had been the lowest the Portland Thorns had ever finished in the league in their history.
Yeah.
They've never finished below third. So you saw that they necessarily weren't the same team that they'd been in the past.
So, but this is 2 years in a row that Gotham defeat the Thorns in the playoffs. They beat them, obviously, at Providence Park last year. And to do it again at home, this was the first ever Gotham FC home playoff match. And it, unfortunately, because of goal differential, they're going away. They're going to Audi Field to play the Washington Spirit. So, and it was like a 3-goal goal differential. But if that was just the difference between a home a game and an away game. But the again, it, and I want to give credit just to the coach, Juan Carlos Amoros, because not you have the superstars. Crystal Dawn is like was absent this game. I don't know if she's injured exactly. She's listed as excused absence, so I don't know exactly the specifics.
Yeah, she brought a doctor's note.
She's like, my mom said I can't. But not having a player like that and still kind of, you know, still figuring things out.
So stacked. Even young players that you wouldn't think, like Yasmin Ryan. You know,
but that's the thing. It's like they're not necessarily stacked. But I think Juan Carlos Amoros,
you literally just zoomed in on Esther and Rose Lavelle, Tierna Davidson, Emily Sonnet.
But it's really players like Yasmin Ryan and
Lynn Williams,
Ella Stevens,
Freeman balling this year.
Did you see the goal Freeman scored a couple weeks ago?
The curler,
was her first. And there was
that was against Utah.
Just remarkable. So obviously Emily Sonnet is doing some work there as well. But this is feeling like a team that is excited to play together. And but the even Neely Martin, Delaney Sheehan, who got the assist on it, so that there are players that are stepping up. There are players that
the role players are taking on leadership roles.
100%. And this is why it's necessary. That this is how Gotham won last year, and they're seemingly doing it again, but I think at a higher level this time around. So this was unfortunately it's the end of the career for Christine Sinclair. So the Thorns, I think they just came up against a little bit of a giant right now.
Also kind of a muted end.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't really figure much out. I mean, they got the tying goal.
Yeah.
But towards the end, I mean, just Roosevelt's going to get you if you give her any real space. But
and that's exactly what she did.
The goal was great, but I was really more impressed. The pass. But not even the pass, though. The drawing the two defenders in, holding it, then putting her back and then sending the ball in.
But that's such a dangerous cross, the diagonal from the touchline.
Yeah.
Somebody gets on the end of it, that's almost always a goal, and that's exactly what you saw.
Dude, looking forward, Gotham is going to be playing the Spirit, and obviously Orlando playing Kansas City.
That's
going to
be great.
And look, the NWSL final will be in Kansas City. So this is a lot on the line for Kansas City, even though they're playing away. So they have, they'll be able to host the final, would be pretty cool. So
as an away team, but it's your house.
Yeah. So okay, and let's wrap up with what the news that just broke right before we started recording, which is Liverpool drama, refereeing drama, PGMOL drama. And David Coutts, whose name I've never said out loud before, but I saw...
Sounds like you made it up.
I saw this video, I saw it on my timeline, and I saw this guy's face, and I'm like, I know this guy's face.
Yeah.
I know this guy's
face. I've never seen him in the state, but I know this guy's face.
But I'm like, I looked at it, and I'm like, I don't know why I know his face, but I know this guy.
Yeah.
And David...
You're like, I've been mad at this guy for a decision for some reason.
And David Coutts is... he's a referee in the Premier League, and he is currently suspended because this video came out, and we're gonna play some of it.
What did you?
And so this guy, you can see him there. He is with his friend,
supposedly.
Allegedly, I thought I could trust this dude. And let's just play some of it.
We may have to bleep some of
We're going to, yeah, apologies to Carter, who's going to have to do a little bit of work editing this. But so here goes. He is in a couch. He's on a couch chatting with his friend, and they're filming a little selfie video.
What did you think of the Liverpool game earlier when you were fourth official?
Liverpool was
What do you think of Jurgen Klopp?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What would you say? Why would you say that Jurgen Klopp was a
Aside from having a right pop at me when I ref them against Burnley in lockdown, then he accused me of lying and then just had a right pop at me. And I've got no interest in speaking to someone who's arrogant.
Okay, so I mean, there's a little bit more, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah. Let me just tell you something. Sometimes you don't want to peek behind the curtain.
Just to be clear.
So we never really get to hear refs at all,
yeah,
almost in any capacity.
I mean, Christina Uncle is probably the only one, but usually she's his lawyer, so she's a bit more tactful.
Christina Uncle is the only person allowed near a microphone.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And David Koo is clearly making some video for the homies. His friend is asking him about Liverpool.
But his friend's asking him questions that feels like he already knows the answers to.
So
tell me again what you said about Klopp.
So we don't know who this is for exactly, but his friend thinks it's funny. But this is that. So that part that we just played, there's a little bit more of it, but it's just kind of more of the same. But this seals the deal. This is hilarious right here.
Right. Just to be clear, that last video can't go anywhere. Seriously.
He's a Premier League referee. Let's not ruin his career. Like, let's face it, we're good blokes, but we can't ruin a bloke's career.
Okay, we're good blokes. We can't ruin this Premier League ref's career.
This got to be going on in a group chat.
This, without a doubt, is clearly going to a limited number of people. They make the first video, and he's like, "Yo, make sure let them know.
Yo, don't send that. Oh, I already did." All right, let's do video number two. Let's do the remix.
I didn't. What you mean? I can't send it to the Telegraph? Damn. My bad. So
no, my boy. His first name Daily, last name Mail. You heard of him?
Okay. So this is one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen, because I've never really seen outside of the undercover camera. You know, FIFA, you know,
right,
like scandal, you know, in like a North African country.
Exactly.
I have never really seen a referee be this blatantly biased or whatever. And you understand, we're not naive. Like, especially the Premier League has a huge problem with this.
PGMOL has got so many, they've taken so many daggers.
Premier League refs, you have to reveal, you have to let them know what club you support,
right?
So that you do not ref those games, and you also do not ref the
games
rivals
that have implications for that.
Or if Dave Coot was a, I think he's a United fan, but if he was a Liverpool fan, he can't ref Liverpool games, and he also cannot ref Everton games,
right?
And when there's implications that could affect either of those teams, they don't have them ref those either,
right?
But you understand that, of course, the refs, I'm sure they have an opinion on...
They're human beings. And they're also fans of the sport. That's what got them into it.
Yes. But the part of being a referee is you have to create the illusion...
You need tact.
That you are completely impartial.
A referee.
And the fact that
this is why I say AI referees, bro. You know how hard you got to piss off AI if it calls you the C word?
Damn, bro. I mean, look, is ChatGPT an Everton fan? Or you know,
CUNT is the one he wants to use.
This is it's a scandal. This is a big deal.
And also, it's going to discredit every referee now.
Yeah.
Because now all those fans are like, they're biased against us. They could be like, well, that one guy was, and you think none of the other ones are?
No,
there's going to be...
Refs can't say this on camera. They can't say this on the pitch. They can't say this in the shower.
I was literally about to say
by themselves.
You can't even... you literally hand in your armpit, soaped up. You cannot say this.
You cannot.
You got to keep this to yourself,
There is no reason... Because who is... Also, your homie, bro... Why does he want you to film this? Who does he want this to be shared to?
McDonald's arches eyebrows. This dude he should get whatever punishment Fook gets. This guy should get similar.
You paying my salary.
We don't know if it was him. It could have been someone else in the group chat.
He's recording.
He's recording. It was his idea.
Bro. And he's the one who he had to have hit send or upload. Nah, he's probably at fault. We're good blokes, fam.
He's complicit. Just ridiculous. And then
it's his fault, whether he shared it with the mail or not.
The biggest crime here, and we all gotta be serious about this. The biggest crime here is whoever leaked it in the group chat. I understand it's not great hearing a referee talk like this, but the fact that such betrayal like this could exist in just group chat etiquette is disgusting. There is no way that you share something like this and they know, and you make the video with the disclaimer being like, don't share this.
That makes you look even worse.
You are.
Because now you know, you can't say, oh, I was drunk. No. You knew something was going to happen.
Et tu, Brute?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is why whenever a friend goes, hey, we're going to do a bachelor party, let's start a group chat. If a friend of mine, I don't get invited to very many bachelor parties, but a friend of mine tells me they got a bachelor group chat, I'm like, you're the one who's going to get in trouble.
You can't
keep that on your phone.
Evidence?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
You dumb, son.
Nah, bro. You need to download the Signal app so we can have encrypted conversations.
Bro, y'all need to be sending messages in Truth Social.
My wife ain't opening Truth Social.
I don't even want to open her.
Bro, this
is... The calculator app got a DM. That's the only one you could use, bro.
This is crazy. So, free my man, David Koo. Yo, he did nothing wrong.
Bro. Fly, my G.
Bro, my man is innocent.
Bro.
This is crazy.
Free him.
This is inadmissible evidence.
Yeah. Circumstantial. I've ever seen it.
Because of how it was obtained.
Right. My client was inebriated, Your Honor.
Bro, the group chat leaked. This is crazy.
Yeah. Nah, group chats can't be trusted, bro. Cloud leaks and all that. I like the Who Is Greg. He put, 15 million views. You know, you would have made like a tour if you had Twitter Blue. He's trying to be like, you could have got your money up, son.
Also, who is the dude the dude that posted this? Josh.
Josh, bro.
How'd you get this, dog?
This is wild.
This seems to be the first.
He's in the group chat. He's in the group
chat.
Is
Josh in the
group chat? Josh in the group chat. Click on his picture. Let's see what my guy.
I hope it wasn't you, Josh.
Damn. Yo, he knew what he was doing too, because he hit him with the ladies and gentlemen. Did you see the tweet?
Which one?
David Coote, ladies and gentlemen. The one they posted the video.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, David Coote, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you your referee.
My man was.
And he's LFC, so he's like, you see what he's saying about my guy Klopp?
Yeah, dude. I'm curious how this got out.
I hope Klopp responds, bro.
Imagine.
Red Bull.
This is crazy. So we'll see what happens. But this man is in trouble.
Mm.
And I don't know how, even if he's cleared and he's allowed to ref again, what is that going to look like?
David Coote about to have 115 charges, bro. This is crazy.
This is wild. All right, everybody, let's wrap up there. Thank you again for tuning in another wild episode. Josh said,
didn't expect this to blow up as much. Shut up. You know what you was doing, ladies and gentlemen. You don't, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't think it's going to blow up.
My man said, David Coote, this is the prestige.
You know? I present to you your David Koo.
Just ridiculous.
31.1 million views. Damn.
Wow.
Bro, you cooked.
Dude.
That's more people that are in England, I think.
So, all right, let's wrap up there. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Be on the lookout on Thursday because we have an exciting episode, a very special episode.
It's crazy.
We had teased it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but the Troy Deeney episode is dropping. We have, no holds barred, great conversation about...
Trust me, we were as surprised as you are that he did this show.
I can't believe it either, but he did, and he can't take it back.
Sorry, you're here now.
So be on the lookout for that. That's coming out on Thursday. Right. We're going to be in Miami, actually.
We're going to be in Miami,
For Soccer X. So we're going to be there for that. So be on the lookout on our Instagram.
We're doing an appearance at a nightclub with David Coote.
We're all looking for work. It's a little tough. So we'll be back on Thursday. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels and also subscribe to the Cooligans here on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to our show. Thank you again for tuning in, everybody. Y'all are the best. Cheers.
Love you guys.